Well, a seismic election and a game changer for the left. Their candidate, Catherine Connolly, stormed home with over 63% of the vote, a massive mandate for grassroots politics and a warning shot for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But there was another twist too. Nearly 13% of ballots were spoiled, and among the names written on those spoiled papers was that of Maria Steen. The barrister and Conservative campaigner failed to get a nomination to run for president, and she's here with me now in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Keane.
Maria Steen, 12.9% spoiled votes, a low turnout of 45.8%. Catherine Connolly, she was elected on a landslide. Do you feel represented this afternoon?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is to congratulate Catherine Connolly, our new president, on her election. She and her supporters ran a very enthusiastic campaign. But I think, as you say, the really big story is the spoiled votes. It is unprecedented. 10 times the size of the last spoiled vote count in the last presidential election. And I think it's fair to say that it is a big rebuke to the political establishment who sought to prevent any competition in this election. I think it's clear that there are a lot of people in this country who feel unrepresented.
Well, let's talk about that. You look at Dublin Midwest, 20.2% spoiled votes or invalid votes. Dublin Northwest, 21%. How do you view that?
Again, these are massive figures, and I think what's really interesting about the spoiled vote is that it seems to cross the divide of urban and rural and working class and middle class. I saw some photos online of some ballot boxes in working class areas where the spoiled vote actually outnumbered Catherine Connolly's vote. So I think it's time that the political establishment really woke up and started listening to the people and remember that they serve the people. That's their purpose.
You're saying this is a wake-up call?
Well, it should be, I think. Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the political commentators in the papers this morning. Fionnán Sheehan has described the level of disaffection in this particular ballot as unprecedented. Fintan O'Toole has described Catherine Connolly's victory as a hollow crown precisely because so many people feel left out and locked out of the political system. Pat Leahy called it an earthquake election, said he'd never seen anything like the numbers that spoiled their votes, and said there was no mistaking the intent of those voters, that it was done, as he said, to send a message to the parties. And I don't think anybody can argue with that.
Well, look, you're saying people feel left out and locked out. Mm-hmm. Some went to the effort to put your name on the ballot paper with the number one beside that. I'm sure you've seen that reported.
Yeah, well, look,
do you take a personal endorsement of that, of what you represent?
Well, I think, look, I am really very grateful and humbled to all the people who did that, who went to the trouble of getting out to vote and putting my name on the ballot. But I don't think, as I said in my article in the Sunday Independent today, I don't think that the spoiled vote can be taken as a vote for me. There were lots of other issues that people mentioned on their ballot papers, and they should not be ignored.
But this was part of a campaign, the Spoil the Vote campaign. Were you part of that?
No, I wasn't.
You didn't have any conversations with the people behind the campaign?
I had nothing to do with the Spoiled the Vote campaign at all. I decided that because I was not a candidate, I didn't get the nomination, that it wouldn't be proper for me to call for the any particular outcome. So I wasn't involved at all.
Well, Declan Ganley of the Spoiled the Vote
campaign. Yes, I know
campaign,
Declan. Yeah.
Well, he said that this was a historic protest vote, that there's enormous dissatisfaction with the process, the nomination process. Is change needed?
Well, look, I heard there on the news item that Mary Lou MacDonald has said that the nominations process should be looked at. Roderick O'Gorman said something
now,
similar.
What do you think?
Well, the funny thing is the nominations process, when you look at the last number of elections, it wasn't a problem. In the last presidential election, there were 18 councils, for instance, that nominated candidates, allowing four independent candidates to get through. This time, there were only three councils that nominated, which wasn't even enough to allow one candidate through.
But in your own case,
what changed was the attitude of the political parties who decided to block.
Which they could do, that was a strategy, it was a political strategy.
Well, it was a political strategy, I think, that has backfired on them. Because, you know, some people have criticised me for being too late to the race. I don't accept that. I came, for instance, Catherine Connolly announced at the end of July. I announced 10 days after Heather Humphreys and before Jim Gavin, but I had put in some work with talking to people before that point.
It takes a lot of work to talk to individual
councils.
It's
a huge amount of
work. Candidates Gareth Sheridan was out early from January,
he said yesterday. And even he didn't get the nomination. He only managed to get 50% of the way. I got 90% of the way through the Oireachtas route. I was the only candidate to pursue both routes seriously because I was trying to maximise my chances. So a lot of hard work was put in, and it wasn't for the want of asking, but at the end of the day, both Gareth and I ran up against the same brick wall, which was the fact that it was just simply impossible to overcome the blocking of the parties. And it wasn't a case of the parties simply supporting their own candidate. It was a case of them actively voting against the nomination of an independent candidate. Well, I think there should definitely be a national conversation about that.
A conversation at what level?
Well, at national level. And I think the parties need to own up to this and you know, think about, because what's really interesting, the combined Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael vote in this election has dropped by about 50%. So that means that their voters either didn't turn up or they chose to spoil their votes.
Before we get into that, let's go back to the nomination
process. If I could just say, I heard Simon Harris making a comment that it was regrettable that there were only two candidates on the ballot paper, as if he and others had nothing to do with that. So I think there has to be some honesty from politicians and facing up to, you know, their contribution to this particular election.
Well, look, he said he's open to looking at this.
Yes.
The nomination process, if it was to change, it would require a referendum.
It would.
Would you support that?
I would have to see the details of it, but yes, I would certainly be open to it.
Would you be pushing for it?
I'm not pushing for anything either way. I think I need to let the dust settle and see, and I suppose take stock after all that has happened.
Look, we've talked a lot here about spoiled votes.
Yes.
13%, 12.9%.
Yes.
Declan Ganley, I'll mention him again. He's saying there's a massive gap on the centre-right.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I do. I think there's a lot of people that simply do not feel represented. Catherine Connolly had a great victory, but when you look at her vote as a proportion of the overall electorate, it amounts to about 25%. That means that there's an awful lot of people out there who either chose not to engage with this election because they felt there was no point in them doing so, or who voted for somebody else or chose to spoil their votes. When you look at the spoiled vote plus, for instance, Jim Gavin's vote, which in effect amounts to a spoiled vote, that accounts for 300,000 voters that
would have had Fianna Fáilers voting for a Fianna Fáil candidate there as
indeed,
well.
But they knew that it was going nowhere because he had withdrawn from the campaign.
But this gap then on the centre-right, yeah. Is that something you can build on?
I don't know. I am certainly willing to think about it and talk about it, what that looks like for me in particular. But I would say, Cian, I don't think it's, you know, I'm just one person. And I think if people are serious, I mean,
you're a person who considered running for the presidential election.
I did, and I did.
Now we're talking about this massive gap on the centre-right. So will you run for election? Will you be part of a political movement? We'll see.
I don't know yet. It's very early days. But one of the reasons, two of the reasons that I ran to begin with in this presidential election, one was to give hope to people that there was an alternative there, or somebody else willing to stick their head above the parapet who might represent their, you know, where they're coming from. And the second was to encourage others to get involved in politics. I think there is a massive disconnect and people just checking out of public discourse and political life. And I think that's a shame for our country. There are so many really talented people in our country who could really contribute to the political scene were they to get involved. And so my, I suppose, run was to try to encourage other people to do that.
Well, you put yourself forward now.
I don't know. There isn't going to be an election for another 4 years. So we'll see.
But you'd have to plan, right?
I would.
Are you planning?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Maria Steen, thanks for coming in to us
Thank you, Keith.
This afternoon. Well,